I'm not quite ready to go. Well, good morning. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting in the 12th floor of the Capitol today for our regularly scheduled commission meeting. It's approximately 10 o'clock, and I'm joined today by Commissioner Kevin Kramer on the phone and Commissioner Bonnie Fetch for her first official commission meeting. With that, I'll open it for Commissioner Kramer for any opening comments, and then Commissioner Fetch, then we'll start off with the agenda. Kevin?
Just good morning. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for accommodating this format.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm very happy to be on the commission for my first official meeting today, and trying to learn as much as I can in a short period of time so I can be productive. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Bonnie. The first order of business today is commission organization. I move the commission portfolios be allocated as follows. Commissioner Kalk, administration, gas and electric distribution utilities, telecommunication, and pipeline safety. Commissioner Kramer, information technology, mining, and pipelines. Commissioner Fetch, electric generation and transmission, licensing to include grain and auctioneers, railroads, and weights and measures.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we are reorganized.
I move the passage of the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, moving on to the regular agenda. Item BK1. I move the commission find the June 29, 2012 complaint filed by AT&T Communication of the Midwest, Inc. states a prima facie case and serve the complaint on the respondent, WiMAX Communication Corp. Core, in case numbers PU12433.
Second.
We basically, on the exact date here, on June 28th, AT&T filed a formal complaint versus WiMAX Communication Corporation. The gist of the complaint, AT&T, as you know, is a competitive local exchange carrier in North Dakota. WiMAX has filed revisions to their North Dakota tariff with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. AT&T is filing the complaint saying the tariff application is not appropriate, and so basically what this case will do, it'll set up a hearing. We'll inform WiMAX of the complaint, and then we'll move forward to the hearing. What's interesting about this is WiMAX did a little bit of research. I actually didn't know too much about them. They're a company that's home-based out of West Palm Beach, Florida. They operate throughout the country. There's been a history of AT&T versus WiMAX complaints like this one around the state. It's basically just the changing telecommunication world, and as we move forward with different tariffs, I think you'll see more of these things in North Dakota. Ironically enough, Commissioner Fetch and I were at the North Dakota Telecom Convention yesterday, and we talked a lot about the changing world of telecommunication. We've had a lot of things in front of this commission recently with some of the FCC determinations, so this motion is in order, but I look forward to the actual hearing on this.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you and good morning, KC1. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order granting additional workspace to Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC for the construction of a crude oil pipeline and associated facilities located in Williams, Mount Trail, and Ward counties of North Dakota, case number PU10-613.
Second.
This is a case that's been with us for quite some time. In fact, we issued the permit on this expansion of the Enbridge system in May of last year. And then in May of this year, Enbridge came to us with an application requesting that we amend part of our tree and shrub mitigation plan to widen the, allow clearing of more trees to widen their workspace area. The tree and shrub plan calls for a 50-foot width of clearing. They asked for 125 feet, especially in some areas where it's quite steep. And really the bottom line here is safety of people over trees. And it's a very reasonable request, an appropriate request. We did have an informal hearing on it, but it is one of those areas probably within our rules we could even look at and see if there's not a way to accommodate these kinds of requests with even more efficiency than this was. But at any rate, safety first, everything seems to be in order, and I'd certainly, of course, support approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. KC2, I move the commission approve bond release number 3 for surface coal mining permit NAFK-8705 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to release all reclamation liabilities on 217.5 acres of land located in the west half of Section 20 T146NR82W McLean County. No monetary release is being requested since the current bond amount is based on the worst case reclamation condition at the entire Falkirk mine. This release will become effective August 13th, 2012, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
We always like final bond releases, of course, and Falkirk is starting to see quite a few of them. This one was requested in October of last year. The 217.5 acres of land was largely pre-mined as cropland. In fact, 195.6 acres of it was cropland, most of which, by the way, was hayland. I get into some more of that in the reclaiming process. But about 9 acres of it is reclaimed wetlands or fish and wildlife habitat. The rest is are public roads and some undisturbed land. And it was subject to the current reclamation law and rules. And the company's demonstrated that all applicable final bond release standards have been met. The reclaimed cropland, as I said, was planted to a pre-cropland seed mixture largely of alfalfa and perennial grasses. It was managed as hayland up until 1998 when the portions were tilled and strip cropped. The remaining strips were broken in 2004. So anyway, they demonstrated very good yields in the wheat planted areas. Of course, the alfalfa and the hayland as well has done very well since the vegetation period. And of course, you understand that what they have to demonstrate is that at least 2 years after year 6, in this case, that would have been 2003, so at least 2 years after that, they would have had to met the standards. They've more than accomplished that, and everything seems to be in order. And as I said, citizens have until August 13th to request a hearing, but this was all noticed, and there were no concerns raised through the notice opportunities. So anyway, everything seems to be in order, and I would certainly encourage approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And some standard business here, KC3. I move the commission approve renewal number 5 for surface coal mining permit number NACT8601 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to extend the permit term for another 5 years until July 28, 2017.
Second.
This is, like I said, just a standard renewal for another 5 years in this particular permit area. All of the coal has been, or the coal removal has been completed for this permit, but there is an equipment access road that's being used to support the mining operations occurring in another permit area. So everything seems to be in order. Coteau has submitted the affidavits, the publications of the notice. We, of course, PSC notice all the appropriate agencies, of course, the affected landowners, the advisory committee members, and received no objections to the renewal application. Evidence of an adequate performance bond are currently on file. So anyway, everything seems to be in order, and again, I passes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That is the items of my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Kevin. Hey, before I forget, do you authorize Esther or someone to sign the orders for you today?
I would authorize Esther to sign my name on all orders that are passed by the commission today.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Commissioner Fetch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're in the midst of license renewals, and there are a number of routine items in my portfolio. The first is Premier Pulses International Incorporated, license number 1097 Minot, North Dakota, and this concerns discontinuing the business. We received, the licensing division received a request to discontinue business from Premier Pulses International for its facility in Minot, North Dakota. The facility has been sold to and will be licensed by United Pulse Trading. The facility is empty and there are no outstanding storage obligations. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE12272, canceling warehouse license number 1097 issued to Premier Pulses International Incorporated at Minot, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Minot is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And the second matter is a request to discontinue business from Noodles by Leonardo Incorporated for its facility at Cando, North Dakota. In October 2011, Noodles by Leonardo Incorporated ceased buying and milling grain. Since then, they have been buying flour to produce their pasta. Noodles by Leonardo Incorporated will be discontinuing business operations with a tentative close date as of September 30th, 2012. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE12413, canceling warehouse license number 565 issued to Leonardo Noodles by Leonardo Incorporated at Cando, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Cando is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The third item is a request to discontinue business from West Dakota Feed and Seed, LLC, Ross, North Dakota, for its facility at Ross. This facility has been sold to and will be licensed by Columbia Grain Incorporated. There are no outstanding storage obligations. And I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE12-547, canceling warehouse license number 1030, issued to West Dakota Feed and Seed, LLC, at Ross, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Ross is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And Columbia Grain Incorporated, doing business as West Dakota Feed and Seed, Portland, Oregon, filed an application to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Ross, North Dakota. All obligations have been met and license application requirements have been met. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE12-302, granting the request of Columbia Grain Incorporated, doing business as West Dakota Feed and Seed, to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Ross, North Dakota.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That's all I have, Commissioner.
All right, very well. Let's see here. Looking ahead to a couple meetings we have planned. This afternoon, we'll have an informal at 1:30 dealing with a potential advanced determination of prudence on a Xcel Energy project. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we have several hearings set up with rulemaking starting at 10, two in public utilities, one in siting, and one in reclamation. August 1st, we also have an informal slated at 1:30. And July 21st, it looks like we have a PI meeting with Xcel Energy. So other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
About Noodles by Leonardo, do you know how long they've been in business? I'm trying to remember when they were first established in North Dakota. Do you remember?
So yeah,
that's been a long time. That's a legacy company up in Candu. Early 80s at least, Dave, I think, but I don't know exactly.
Speaking as a Candu native.
Yes.
Almost.
Well, Commissioner Kramer, at one time you were an economic development person. I assume you worked with the Noodles by Leonardo folks.
I did, although Noodles by Leonardo was even prior to my time. In fact, I'm pretty sure at that point it was, it might have been even, George Sinner might have been governor, but it was at least probably in the 70s, actually, even before that. Might have predated Al Olson, probably more in the Art Link era.
Wow.
But we didn't work a lot with them. Once I was economic development and finance director, they were already financed and producing a lot of pasta. One of the things that intrigued me about my first pasta plant tour was that the generics and the name brands came out of the same machine. They just switched packages.
Though it is an end of an era, in a way.
My understanding, if I understand it, is that while they're not buying and milling the durum anymore, they're still making the pasta out of the flour that they buy from another mill. And I don't know what other mills they'll be buying from, but I suspect perhaps the state mill might be one of them. And I don't know how it affects their facility in Devil's Lake either, if that's even still operational.
Also, in terms of the Enbridge pipeline, you don't see this is more routine, or is this out of the routine for a pipeline like that?
It's a great point, Dave, because it's not that routine, and I'm not so sure it shouldn't be more routine. I'll never forget my first tour of the Keystone Pipeline construction project, and it was while they were cutting through some trees up in the Forest River area and up in the Pemina Gorge area. And of course, that's beautifully, richly, thickly wooded area. And I remember being impressed by how dangerous it seemed to me that they were operating with this very narrow cut, very narrow workspace, and rather steep inclines. And of course, if it rains or something like that, you've got heavy, large equipment with a lot of people around it, with this big trench and all this steel. And I thought, my goodness, this doesn't seem very safe. So when Enbridge kind of came to us with this request to allow a variance in the width cutting through the tree mitigation plan, I guess, it was a no-brainer to me, because we had to put safety ahead of trees. And frankly, in my view, these issues should be left to private landowners more than it should be to the Public Service Commission anyway, unless it's on public land. But at any rate, I appreciate Enbridge's attention to the details of safety of their workforce and the contractors. So while it's not all that routine, and I suppose, Dave, it's not that routine because we don't have that many trees. Most of the places where pipelines are running are, in the west and not a real, real wooded areas, but when it does happen, I appreciate that safety comes first.
What I would add to what Kevin said, too, is that I think it's something we could look at in the rules, because we've had cases out in the western part of the state where heavy rainfall have caused the sloughing away of some of the hills, so there needs to be the ability to widen that corridor for safety, and we should probably look at that a little bit closer when we get into actually the hearings, because what it comes down to is if it's a wooded area or you've got the change in elevation, it's going to be harder to operate, so they should widen it right away from the beginning, perhaps.
I also noticed on your agenda you have a work session this afternoon at 2:30 on the budget.
We do. We are going through, Josh has been working very hard as well as the division heads to prepare our budget, the reduced amount, the hold even, and what we're going to be asking for in addition. So what we're going to do is we're trying to finalize what our budget submissions are going to be. And quite honestly, one of the things that we're going to be asking for is an additional pipeline safety position. And so that's one of the things that the three of us will talk about further, but I'm pretty sure we have consensus among the three of us. And we're also going to be looking at other areas. We might need some additional staffing to meet additional requirements, but it's just part of the process.
Well, go ahead and make your case for an additional position, that additional position in pipeline safety.
It was one of the things that we talked about even last session was the need for an additional pipeline safety inspector with the projected growth at that time in pipelines. And I just see where the Petroleum Council came out, as well as the Pipeline Authority, that they've basically increased the pipeline capacity in the state about four times in the last few years. And so our pipeline inspector's been doing a great job. There's just a lot more ground to cover right now, and it seems that we want to make sure we build these things safely and efficiently and also do the follow-on. We just need more people out there.
Well, and Dave, the other thing that's happening, remember, this is also a federal program that we enforce for the federal government, for the PHMSA and the Department of Transportation, and they've often commented that we don't really have the level of cover that we ought to have for the integrity of our system, especially our distribution system. And Brian talks a lot about, of course, and appropriately, about what's going on in Western North Dakota. But the distribution system within our cities and the communities is building out as our prosperity leads to more and more housing, more and more industry and commercial building, and the integrity of that system as it ages becomes all the more important. And so, again, it gets back to an issue of public safety and public confidence. And so I think it's an important case to make. I think it's a good case to make. It's certainly ours to make, but I think it's a good case.
Well, and one of the challenges that I think we're going to see is that we've had some turnover in that position just because the private sector is paying so much for this skill set that it's a twofold issue. One is we need more capability, but two is we need the ability to keep the people that we have, because it seems like once we get them trained up, then they move on to the private sector. So we're actually going to be asking for an increase in salary for that position and some others to offset that, to keep the ability to hold these individuals once you get them trained up.
Do you consider that a serious problem right now, the losing of people to the private sector, specifically for into the energy industry, the oil industry?
I wouldn't say it's serious yet, but it's getting close to that, because when we lose, a lot of our positions are positions of one. So when you lose that individual, you lose that capability and somebody else picks it up. Right now, I'm very concerned about it, I will say that. That's what we're going to be asking much more, much harder than we did the last time around. And we're actually, I've talked to the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Wardner, about this, and it seems that the individuals in the legislature I've already talked to are supportive of it. It's just a matter of shaping what we want it to look like. But we don't want it to become a problem is the big thing.
When is your budget due?
Have to help me out here. Is August 15th? Where's Josh? I think August 15th. August 15th.
Okay.
So what we want to do is we want to have that work session today, see what any areas we might have that we still have questions on. Josh has got to do all of his work and then get it submitted.
Okay. So, Commissioner Fetch, what do you think about your first formal meeting of the Public Service Commission?
You know, it's very interesting. There are lots of crucial issues. And just following up, I'm going to echo what Commissioners Kalk and Kramer just expressed about needing another staff position at least for pipeline safety. There was a big article in today's Tribune about ruptured line in Michigan, and you know, as lines are aging, and you know, things should be picked up. You know, it seems a no-brainer that we need to act more proactively to about the issue of public safety than after the fact. So I'm going to echo their concerns in that respect. I did have an opportunity yesterday to attend the telecommunications conference in Fargo, which was informative and enlightening. When you come into this position, there are so many portfolios that all of a sudden need attention and need to learn, and I'm doing my best to kind of get my head around each of those. I'll just do my best to learn quickly and be as productive as I can.
Dave,
thank
I would
you.
Say that the first work session the three of us had with Kevin and I and Commissioner Fetch, we were looking to her for some of her legal input right off the bat, so it's an immediate impact.
In your portfolios, then, do you have you adjudicated cases in these areas at all?
In the railroads, yes, I did the hearings on the quiet rail issues, the Frayne Barracks one here, but there were a number of others in more rural areas. So I did the railroad hearings were basically mine. And I've, you know, beyond that, I've done some electric transmission line matters, and then the mining, you know, some of the mining permits and reclamation hearings. So those are not my, that is not my portfolio, but those were some that I conducted for the commission in the past. But regardless of the subject matter area, regardless of that, it still was a great learning experience to conduct all matters before the commission and, you know, whatever they pertain to, and have a feel for what the commission did before I got into this position.
Dave, you might remember when I was first on the commission, Judge Fetch was the presiding officer over the Coteau Mine, West Mine permit case, which was a very hotly contested case by the defenders of the Black Hills and some of the Sioux tribes, because the indigenous land or the land was indigenous to the Mandan, Hidatsa, Arikara nations. And of course, as an adopted Mandan, the defenders of the Black Hills made a motion that I recuse myself because as a Mandan, I could never make, you know, a rational, unbiased decision. I'll never forget that hearing was one of my first ones. And I remember how well Judge Fetch handled it. So we're grateful to have her on the commission.
Thank you.
And I remember being there, Kevin. I
remember that.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Kevin, do you want us to go right into the administration portion or call back? Or I didn't know what works for you.
You know, if we go right into it, that'd be fine with me, I guess, if it's okay with you guys.
I think
it's fine with me.
So we'll close the official part of our meeting,